Blog Talk Radio.
I am making my way on a journey through the valleys and hills of my heart to the kingdom of freedom and true love, where from my God I will never depart. And I'll sing la 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 la, my King, my Lord, and my life. La 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 la, I'll seek you from morning to night.
God of justice, I am the righteous judge of all creation. I am the King of kings. I am with the generation of the righteous. I am God. My statutes rejoice the heart. I am the one who makes unbreakable covenants with man. I am holy, pure, and undefiled. I am God. Besides me, there is no God. I am God by which all actions are weighed. I am God. My testimony is sure. I am God. My commandments enlighten the eyes. I am the witness on your behalf. I am righteous. Kings humble themselves before me. I am God, whose eyelids test the sons of men. I am the spirit of wisdom. I am my ordinances. I am the divine judge of all things. I am the law. I am my statutes. Walk in them. I am judge of the living and the dead. I am the spirit of the fear of the Lord. I am righteous. I am perfect knowledge. I am before whom every tongue will confess. I am the Lord who loves righteousness. I am the unbiased, impartial judge. I am the Lord, and my judgments are righteous altogether. I am he who sent Moses to deliver Israel. I am God, and no one can reverse my acts. I am to be feared above all gods. I am God who refines you. I am my judgments. I am the Lord who heals you.
Hello, good day everyone. Welcome to Faith Talks Live Prayer, WSCIRO, Sea Christian Internet Radio Outreach of Greater Boston on Blog Talk Radio. And I'm Dr. Shirley Cannon, your General Manager. I am here with my husband today, Sunday, July 25th at approximately 1:05 p.m. here in the town of Stoughton is my husband, Jeffrey, Dr. Jeffrey Canis. Would you like to say hi, Jeff?
Hey, folks. How are you?
Yeah, so we just wanted to say a big God bless you to all of our Facebook friends, YouTube friends and family, as well as our new Vimeo community that we actually launched. We were actually part of the Vimeo community for about a year, and then as of recent, within the last couple of weeks, the Lord just started downloading the various groups we can have on that. There is one group, particularly the prophetic community, as well as the WSTKI-TV, it's a creative arts community. They primarily will be dealing with prophetic genre, which is the prophetic expressions, which is a new kind of a genre that we would like to see happen in the body of Christ. So we're going to be the forerunner of that, and we put up some videos that fall into those categories. So anybody who has that, feel free to look us up on Vimeo. I believe it's Vimeo, that's vimeo.com/WSTK and WSCIRO, like YouTube. Okay, and we just want to just say again, hi to our Facebook community, as well as our Faith Talks Live Prayer community on Facebook. If you want to join our community and our fan page community, feel free to do so. We will keep you posted on the different shows that we are doing on Blog Talk Radio and TV from time to time. We started this whole Faith Talks Live Prayer on Blog TV, and there was a blog attached to it, but we felt that we were going to get more listeners doing Faith Talks Live Prayer on Blog Talk Radio. And so when we stepped out in faith, stepped out into the deep, that's what we found to be the case. So anyways, I just want to just offer up this show. It's a continuation of our Faith Talk Live Prayer series on the different levels of faith. And what we do is we just ask the Holy Spirit what the content is going to be, what He wants us to talk about. And He usually relates it to an aspect in our life that seems to correspond with what He's doing in the body of Christ. And as of late, I actually had a dream about a fiery furnace. It was a really strange dream because it was a basement within a basement. But I'm going to disclose right now what the topic is going to be. Obviously, it's the fiery furnace, but it has something to do with the purifying faith that the Lord gives us in order to facilitate transformation in our lives, so we can become more like Christ day in and day out. But oftentimes we'll use the circumstances and situations of our lives, the sufferings of everyday living, to form His character within us. And that is likened to the fiery furnace in our lives. And when I had the dream, it was like the Lord was showing me this is the fiery furnace of affliction. So the Lord really doesn't want anyone to lose heart right now who's going through a crisis, who's especially if they're a believer, who seems to be going from one trial to another. He wants to know you to know that you are right there, you know, as you're right there living this thing out day in and day out, He's right there with you, you just need to understand that. You need to focus in on that. But I believe, and my husband believes, that by the end of this show, by the end of this broadcast, you will, beyond a shadow of a doubt, know that Jesus is within you. He lives within you. The kingdom of God is within you, and He's with you in your circumstances and situations, forming you, okay, through your trials, through your crisis, through your experiences of life. Okay, so I'm going to give the mic to my husband, and he's going to invoke the Holy Spirit, and I'm just going to be alongside of him, agreeing with him in prayer. So honey, here we go, let's invoke the Holy Spirit.
Come Holy Spirit, come.
Thank you, Jesus.
From your celestial home divine, shed a light divine upon these hearts of mine. Come, O Father of the poor. O come, source of all our store, and in our bosoms shine. You are comforters the best, you our soul's most welcome guest. You are comfort here below, you are coolness in the heat.
Thank
on
you.
Our dryness, pour your dew. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, glory to you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. We just thank you, Lord. We thank you for what you're doing in the body of Christ. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for going before us in your spirit of truth. Just going before us and touching hearts. Not only touching hearts, but transforming situations and circumstances that people have entrusted you with. And we ask for an increase of greater trust in this fiery furnace of affliction that people are finding themselves in. Whether it's the fiery furnace of affliction of watching your loved ones suffer a terminal disease, suffer a life of disability, whether it be autism, whether it be living with HIV, whether it be cancer. Lord, we just ask that you would just strengthen your people with your strength, but only not just strengthen them, but Lord, fill them with your presence, surround them with your glory, to let them know that in their fiery furnace that it is not a judgment of hell, but it's more like you have ordered, you have allowed this, I should say, allowed this and ordained them to go through this, because you know that there's something within them that's going to endure, and that something is you, that because they have called upon your presence, called upon your name, the name above every name, that at your name, at your precious holy name, every knee shall bow on the earth, under the earth, and on top of the earth. And so we just thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for being with your people in the flames, in the fiery flames of affliction. We thank you, Jesus. And we just thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, just come with your love. Come with your glory. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Towards the end of this broadcast, we are going to offer up communion, but we want to really get into this teaching because there seems to be surmounting evidence of people just going through their afflictions and almost giving up. To the point where they just lose hope. And like we said earlier in the other Faith Talk by Prayer, that faith, okay, from Hebrews 11:1, Paul defines faith as the I always say this all the time. I get substance and evidence mixed up at the beginning, but then I remember the scripture, and this is what you all should remember. Now, faith is the substance. It's a substance of things hoped for, okay, and the evidence of things not seen. So you have to have substance before you have evidence. The substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So in this fiery furnace of affliction, okay, and we're going to go into a dream that the Lord had given me, and then we're going to explore the scriptures from the Old Testament, namely Daniel, from the book of Daniel, Daniel 3, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were in the fiery furnace, okay, and how they got delivered. And so we're going to run this parallel to the dream that the Lord had given me. And I actually didn't understand why the Lord was giving me that dimension of a dream, but then as I was applying it to a particular blog that I visit from time to time, they're going through the rooms of mystery. We've entered collectively into the dark night of the spirit, and God requires some things in the dark night of the spirit. And so many times people they kind of like dodge affliction in the dark night because it's just too much for them. And I believe that it's in this place that the Lord wants to make himself known, and he really wants to get at the heart of the individual, okay? So the individual can see the way that the Father sees and do the things that they see the Father doing, and have a clearer perspective on life as it is lived in the Spirit of the living God. So I just want you to sit back and just close your eyes and enter into this dream vision with me. I know that maybe many of you right now are in that place where you're thinking, you know, what's this lady nuts? She wants me to enter into this affliction. I'm already in an affliction. So I just want you to sit back and just listen to what the main character is doing in this particular dream, okay? And we'll discuss what the ramifications are of that. Anyways, I had a dream last night, and the Lord brought me to a basement. I was observing a faceless person in a fiery furnace-like room of the basement, within the basement. I quickly moved from the observer to the one trying to convince this particular faceless person to change their mind and to stop doing things in their own power and to trust Jesus for all things. And I began to wonder just where I am, and the Lord had said it was the fiery furnace of affliction. Every time I got to the Jesus part, and as this person was getting closer to a door in back of them, I was actually talking to this person, I was observing the door in back of them, and I was feeling this power coming from the door, and like it was about ready to open. I was actually anticipating the door to open for this person, and this light was also going through this peephole. It was one of, you know, if you ever imagine a door in your regular life, where, you know, you have those heavy metal doors and you have that little peephole just to see who's on the other side of the door. Well, that's what was going on. There was actually people peeping into this fiery room, furnace of affliction. Okay? So it says, every time I got to the Jesus part, and as this person was getting closer to a door in back of them, the front door, the door with an eye hole that seemed to reflect white light, this person would run away from the door and seem to disappear into thin air. This faceless person, when the light and power of the Lord seemed to seize them, got fearful. And this was the reason for them running away. Okay? I tried to convince this person three times, and then I gave up and woke up from the dream. I asked the Lord what this was about, and he put me back to sleep again. I went back to the dream, not sure if I really woke up or I woke within the dream and actually went back to sleep in my dream. Only God knows. Well, anyways, I went back to the basement this time. This time I was in the first cellar and saw an elevator shaft. And I saw workers in this warehouse looking, in this warehouse looking cellar as well. And, you know, then there was a command from the back of me for everybody who's going to go and rescue this person to come on the elevator shaft and go down with them. But I knew that it was not my time to do this because I already spent a considerable amount of time with this person, so I let the rescue workers do this, okay? So I told the workers that someone was stuck in a fiery furnace cellar, the basement, under the basement, and that they needed some help, and that I am not the one to help them. And then that's when the 911 people came, okay, with their equipment. So I was actually talking to the workers in the warehouse at this time. They were assigned to doing something else. They weren't the ones that were rescuing this person. So anyways, so the rescue workers came, and I pointed them to the basement. Now, I believe, after I prayed on it, meditated on this dream, that the people that came to this particular blog, and also people right now in this season of the body of Christ, you know, this season of restoration, that we are this faceless person. Okay, the faceless person is identified is more like a metaphorical figure for the body of Christ, a symbol for the body of Christ, who, for our own reasons, seem to be making all kinds of excuses of why we haven't allowed the Lord full reign in every aspect of our lives, and this includes trusting Him with every fiber of our being, especially for our loved ones, for their salvation, for their healing, for anything that, you know, they're suffering with, okay? And people that he's placed within our lives to help shape us into what God wants us to be, into who God's calling us to be. Many times in the fiery furnace of our lives, we self-reject. We run away from the opportunity for God to seize us by his Holy Spirit. That's what this figure was doing. We take on other false identities and life forms, different characters, in order to anesthetize our pain, therefore passing up the opportunity of not allowing God to fully shape our character through our circumstances and situations that he places us in. God does not want us to take these detours anymore. He doesn't want us to go into rooms that we have no business being in. He wants us to stand in front of that door that he's about ready to open up for each and every one of us. That door with a glimmer of light shining through the fiery furnace affliction, peeking through the peephole. This light has power to change you and me and every circumstance that we allow into. So all we need to do really in our circumstance situation is stand. Stand after we've prayed, after we worship, stand, all right, and stand in front of this door and just wait for him to open this door. I believe that in this room called the fiery furnace, but what I see in this dream, the peephole is small on the inside of the room because we see God like this. So, Father, and this is what I want to pray for every single person here, okay, and we'll offer this up for communion. Father, I thank you for this revelatory dream regarding what you want to do in your people who visit this radio station, blog radio, or who visit the blog that I originally wrote the stream for. That, Lord, that you know, you would touch the body of Christ throughout the earth, and that you would take off the dark glasses, you know, that blind their perspective, and you will also take off my dark glasses. And Lord, I want to receive from you, from the kingdom, your perfect fresh perspective and the bigness of your perspective. Can you release this to my friends who are listening, to my friends and family that you've chosen for me, that listen to this broadcast and that will listen to this broadcast? We thank you. And Lord, just change our hearts, change our lives, change our minds about who we are and what you've called us to be. Lord, we just want to be so much like you. We just want to be so much like you so we can be very effective in the people that you bring us to. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We want to love like you. We want to be joyful like you. We want to have your understanding. We want what you've always wanted for us. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. So I just want to just relate this. You know, some people say, well, what does this really have to do, you know, for those scriptural buffs out there, what does this have to do with the Bible? Well, in the book of Daniel, okay, because God is a God who really, he wants to love you through your afflictions. You know, many people say, oh, I got to be perfect, I got to be a perfect Christian to have the power of God move in my life. No, but the power of God can move in your life and through your affliction as the one who delivers you from your affliction, okay? So let's just, especially those who are called according to his purpose, those who, want to love like he loves. Okay, I'm going to go to Daniel 3, and we're going to start at verse 1, all right? We have a couple minutes left, and then we're going to go into communion, okay? And we want to see how the Lord moved through purifying faith to not only purify Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but to purify the one who put them there as well, to be a testimony, to be a witness of his love, of his power. Okay, the image of God in the fiery furnace. King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon made an image of gold 90 feet high and 90 feet wide and set it up on the plains of Dura in the province of Babylon. Okay. He then summoned the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials to come to the dedication of the image he had set up. So the satraps, prefects, governors, advisors, treasurers, judges, magistrates, and all the other provincial officials assembled for the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up, and they stood before it. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, "This is what you are commanded to do, O peoples, nations, and men of every language. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. Therefore, as soon as they heard the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, and all kinds of music, all the peoples, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshipped the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, 'O king, live forever. You have issued a decree, O king, that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, pipes, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and that whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, O king. They neither serve your gods nor, and I'm going to say gods with little g, nor worship the image of gold you have set up.' Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, 'Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the zither, the lyre, the harp, the pipes, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what God will be able to rescue you from my hand?' Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, 'O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand.'" See, that's their purifying faith, O king. "But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual, and he commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and a 4th looks like a son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out. Come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their head singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands, and were willing to give up their lives, Father, than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. And so this is what's happened, what the Lord is saying in that, in the Old Testament and in the dream, that, you know, in our afflictions, he sends his angel or angels to come and to rescue us when his purpose is accomplished in our lives as far as perfecting character. Okay, and the fire is the fire of the Holy Spirit. But you know, it is legitimate pain. It is real pain. There are times where the emotional pain is so unbearable that you know you feel that the Lord has forsaken you, but He is not. And the Lord is saying that He always wants people to know that there is help, that there's heavenly reinforcements, and that no human being can actually free anyone from the furnace of affliction, the fiery furnace of affliction. It's got to be the Lord, and the Lord, you know, has heavenly reinforcements in the angelic realm that can come and assist you in your way out. So, you know, that's what I've learned in the dream. That's what I've learned here, that there was, that fourth man was an angel, but in the dream there was more than one rescue worker, which the rescue workers are angels from heaven. And when I, the observer in the dream, realized that I did not have, I did not have it in me to help these people, then it belonged to God, okay? And this is what we need to do. We need to surrender in this fiery affliction of trials, everything over to God and watch Him act. Many people spend lives, most of their lives in the fiery furnace of affliction. They don't see the victory because they don't know that they can do this. Because the God of this world, the enemy, Satan and his cohort, has the mind blinded. So in this fiery furnace of affliction, two things begin to happen. Or a couple of things. There's a surrendering of the whole trial and situation. Then there is the calling upon Jesus. And then there is the calling upon the angels for help. Okay? And also asking the Lord to accomplish His purpose. Okay, and watch to see what He does. And then when you begin to immerse out of the affliction or the circumstance or the situation, people begin to see the hand of God. That actually that's the place of witness. That begins the testimony of what the Lord's brought you through. Okay, so I just want to encourage my friends. I want to encourage my family here who listen to this. To this broadcast, and I mean, this is blessing me that the Lord's given me the privilege to be able to even teach like this. But you know, He's just so faithful, and so anybody that's raising children that are special needs, especially, that's one of the afflictions of today. It's like a common affliction for this society, or those who are walking through terminal illness, and maybe they're in a series of cancer treatments. I just want to just encourage you, you know, to just turn it over to the Lord. And we're going to go into communion in a couple minutes, because we're just approaching the end of this show, which is actually always the beginning of something newer in the Holy Ghost. And I just want to just ask the Holy Ghost to come come into this communion, come into this time. And Lord, we just offer up all the afflictions, you know, Lord, you know them one by one, just like you know every hair upon a person's head, upon each person's head that's listening. And Lord, we just want to bring all the afflictions of the righteous ones to this communion, and we just offer up the body of Jesus. The bread as the body of Jesus that you broke, Lord, for the sins of mankind and for all the afflictions that have come upon mankind because of the sin of Adam. We ask that, Lord, that it's through your body, you know, that's redeemed it all. We ask you to redeem it all through your broken body, through the bread of affliction. We thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And we and we see the body of Christ. Also, we want to lift up the drink here. That is your blood, Jesus, that you cleansed us in our afflictions. You cleansed us in our trials. You cleansed us with your redeeming power of the blood. And you delivered us from the eternal effects of our sin. As you broke the power of sin, we thank you, Jesus. We offer up this blood for the remission of sins, for the cleansing and purification of mankind and the family, especially the family of man that's alive at this time, weathering out the storms of their life. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Receive the blood of Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come into these circumstances and situations. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on them. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on them. Melt them, mold them, fill them, use them. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on him. Thank you for listening to Faith Talk Live Prayer topic, The Fiery Furnace. God bless you. Bye-bye. Love you.
Suddenly I found myself on the chest of Jesus, like John the Beloved. I could feel my face up against his linen robe, the soft fabric around my face. I could hear his heart, the sound of eternity, that gigantic chamber of love embracing me. I felt so loved, so protected. This intimacy of his heart went deep into my very being. Leaning deeper into his heart, I could feel his arms embracing me. And then I could feel his heart open up. And I'm drawn into the literal heart of Jesus, the eternal residence of this tremendous heartbeat. This heartbeat is resounding through all of eternity. The tapestry of sound and rhythm, the celestial worship. Oh, the worship, the glory. His heart was a literal chamber of chanting of prayer, a tabernacle of glory. The Ancient of Days, this Jewish king, I was inside of his heart. The incense, the thick, heavy smells began to overwhelm my senses. The chanting, the awakening of my heart to these ancient prayers to God. Holy. I'm going deeper into the thick smoke. I began to perceive that these walls and this tabernacle, that they're not made of stone, but they're made of flesh. His heart was gigantic. This gigantic wall, like heaven's wailing wall. Every name, every individual, every faith, every destiny, every dream was written on the wall of the Lord's heart. But then I could hear the intercessors crying out from the lost, from the earth down below. I could hear them crying out, "Oh Lord, Lord, my Father, Lord, my Father, he doesn't know you. Lord, my mother, she's in so much pain. My children." I could hear the cries and the groans of the intercessors crying out for the lost. Lord, do you hear their cries? Will you save them? There's so much pain. There's so much anguish. And then I can hear the Lord's heart responding. His heart was breaking. This heaven's wailing wall, it was as though the whole wall was bleeding and crying and groaning in the depths of his being. Each one of the names written on his heart, he goes, "I know your circumstances. I know each one of you so intimately. I feel your pain. I know the anguish. I know the pain you're going through. Will you come to me? You are not forsaken. Come to me. I love you." And then there was the sound of war. It was the sound of war and violence as these two governments of God and Satan are colliding. And then I saw these evil, diabolical armies from all the nations of the earth surrounding this great city. I heard a cry within these ancient walls, the voice of Rachel lamenting and crying out for her children. And then there was another sound. It was a sound that was deep in the heart of the Lord. It was a sound of groans, a sound of travail. And then there was the sounds of the martyrs from underneath the throne. And they were crying out, "How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord? Will you avenge our blood?" And then there was the sound of the demonic destroying. The sound of demons with suicide and hopelessness and depression saying, I will destroy you. There was the sound of disease ravishing and destroying bodies. The sounds of tormented, demonized people crying out for freedom and deliverance. The cries of the tormented and of the lost. You see, even in heaven's heart, the lost were crying out, is there a God? Does he feel my pain? Why was I born? I want to die. It hurts too much to live. I hear this great orchestration of all these prayers and worship culminating into a roaring crescendo. Such glory, such awe, such pain, such mystery. And then the Lord was interceding and dispatching warring angels. The heavens were at war. His very heart became heaven's wailing wall, weeping and proclaiming and calling forth the great love of his heart. He says, I command my angels to go and war and set the captives free. So many need to come to me. So many are lost. And then he said, if you want to see my heart, the key to apostolic authority is love. If you want to move in signs and wonders, then you need to know my heart. If you want to see heaven break in into territory and take whole cities, then you need to move with this radical resurrection love. You need to hear what I hear. You need to feel what I feel. Will you have my compassion? You need to have my heartbeat. Are you willing to be a deliverer? Will you let me come and take my sword and cut open and circumcise your heart so that you will feel, so that you will bleed, so that your very heart will become heaven's wailing wall? The pain of the lost and the broken, that you can intercede and cry out in deep prayer and travail to help to birth my heart. Can I write their names on your heart? Are you willing to become lovers? Will you love with my love? I'm calling you to heaven's wailing wall.